Okay. So that's where I got this website from, was those PowerPoint slides.
Okay.
I think it certainly looks like a good tool. If nothing else, it looks very impressive already.
Yeah, it's colorful.
Yeah.
And I found it very easy to use. Like, you just click on things and you can delete stuff and I don't know. So.
Okay.
How do we want to go about working on this? Do we want to divvy it up, or do we want to, like, take turns? I mean, it sounded like we were kind of going to divvy up the sections at one point.
Yeah. That idea just came from our literature review being in those sections.
Yeah.
It seemed like the easiest start anyway.
Yeah, I think in the interest of getting this done quickly, that might be the most efficient thing to do.
Okay.
Just since this is due Monday, a week from today.
And so literally, like, if I put something in here right now, it's going to show up for all of you guys?
It should.
Okay.
All right.
So we can all be kind of doing it and making it one document as we go.
Oh. And I just found out that we can only edit it one person at a time.
Oh, okay.
But that's fine.
I think it does a status. It just changed. I think Sean.
I just created my own account and now I am trying to log back out. So yes, I have logged back out. So
yeah.
That way then.
Okay. So now it says Aaron is editing it.
Yep. And I think I can. How do I stop editing? Do I have to log out to stop editing?
Did you try? Maybe try editing something and see if it shows up for us.
Did that show up?
Hi, everybody. I see it.
Yep.
All right. That worked. I'll get rid of that. And, okay, well, I know how this works. I'll try to log. I assume there's a logout button somewhere.
Oh, wait. I don't see any.
I just deleted it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I support using this tool over the next week to get this in order. And I assume once we've made it, do we, like, export it to a PDF or a PowerPoint or something?
Yeah. It looks like you can export it. You can put it in a document or – I didn't really look into those things, but –
Yeah, it does look like you can download it as a Word document or transfer to Google Docs or...
Okay.
Maybe print it as a PDF kind of thing, too, so that...
Yeah. I wasn't sure what the plan was at next Monday night's brouhaha.
Yeah, is it supposed to be a PowerPoint slide? Like a... I was assuming we'd just have a slide that would show everyone, or is that what the plan was?
I think so.
My understanding is that you'd have something that you could walk people through and discuss, share, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it might be good if we print something out for a handout?
Yeah.
I can do that. I can, once we have it how we want it, I can, take care of getting it into a PDF and making a handout.
Okay. That would be great. And I have a question before I forget. Were we going to have a handout to go with our presentation next Wednesday?
I thought we were going to do that with the task.
Yeah. Do we have one created?
I don't think so, at least not that I know of.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, okay, before we talk about that too much, does anyone have other thoughts about the concept map?
I do, if nobody else does.
Yep.
This is Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure, since I haven't been on the last PhoneCon, if this the tripartite dividing categorization under sampling distributions is something you guys have honed in on, or if this was a first pass division. I had a question on that. The useful teaching tool, learning, and research, or rather looking at the three ovals under those three words?
That was just my start to it. So.
Okay, well, then if I may just raise one question. To me, when I see the word research, I think of the kinds of articles that I see on the left-hand side as relating, so I was wondering if there was some way of representing that.
Yeah.
Here? Because especially this idea of empirical studies and stuff like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I guess what I was thinking is all of it should be showing what the research we've done. But I could, for lack of a better word, I didn't know kind of what the category was for the theoretical frameworks of how those relate to sampling distributions. So we could change that word to something else, like...
Do we even need those three at the top? Because we have the bubbles, computer simulation methods, student conception, theoretical frameworks.
Yeah, we can get rid of those.
Like in each of those, we have something research-related. I mean, there have been a few empirical studies on computer simulation methods, and then there's empirical studies on student learning.
Right, that was. I was also wondering if you might have that on the middle one, too.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And then there's research on theoretical frameworks. So it seems like the three things above aren't necessary, or maybe even misleading, I guess. I mean, that seems to maybe be your confusion, Marcia, is that...
Yeah, I think I just glommed onto that one word, research, and it made it seem like the other two bubbles weren't research.
Yeah,
by implication.
How do other folks feel about having those three labels on top? Like, could we just get rid of them and just have the bubbles below? Because those are three areas where we have read either non-empirical or empirical studies for those kind of three components that make up our literature review and our framing our research study.
Mm-hmm. I'm not attached to those at all. We could delete them.
Okay.
The concept map template just automatically puts those spaces for linking words, and so
okay.
It's filling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there's research. Oh, I see.
It's like right above theoretical framework.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm out of it.
That's okay.
It's like
I had no idea you were putting together a 10-year file already, Aaron. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, that makes... Yeah, research is like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm there.
Cool.
Oh.
I was trying to delete it.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what happened?
Okay, so how about this? We'll let Stacy make some of the big upper level changes, and then we'll each stick in the stuff that we're individually more familiar with.
That sounds good.
That
yeah.
Sounds good. Okay.
Everyone going? Sorry, I just wanted to see. I can't remember, Sean, if you're going or not.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Which is too bad.
Okay.
I mean, you're within your email, that idea of, oh, you know, us individual, you know, getting together as a group separate from the other clusters to talk through things, I think would be really great, and I wish I'd be there.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember for sure if you had gotten funding or had the ability to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think funding is the problem, but, it's the lack of being able to get access to the country would be the problem.
Okay. Okay. I was just wondering if we all wanted to talk again about the concept map once it's done, and maybe we can just take care of that via email.
Yeah, that I think that should work.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also think that at least the three of us can meet next Monday or Tuesday or however many times we want to meet, because
mm-hmm.
I think certainly preparing for the fall semester would be something that meeting in person would facilitate.
Yeah, and then we can send Sean, we can send you, basically we can just create minutes and the whole, you know, whatever we cover
mm-hmm.
inside or talk about we can send to you. So that you don't feel out of the loop for that. Does that
no, that's
seem
fine.
Reasonable? Okay. And I don't know what day you guys are all getting there. I have to leave on Tuesday. I'm not sure when, because Wednesday I'm in the hospital. So if I don't know what you guys have planned for Monday, but we can email and talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so a follow-up question about the handout for our talk. Which activity? I even wrote the talk, and I don't remember which activity we were talking about during the talk.
I don't remember that either. You have
to have
that written anyway.
Okay, joint stats meetings 2010. Let's see, we're opening.
Weren't we going to use what we were coming up with for the in-class stuff?
Yeah, but I think we were just going to focus on one of those activities.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And I don't remember which.
So admittedly, I only ended up getting two of them in. You know, the phase one and the phase two. You know, I got those, but I wasn't, you know, with time and all, I wasn't able to work in the others.
Okay, that's actually sort of good. I was just looking at the email I sent where I claimed to be sending out phases 3 and 3.5, but those didn't actually make it into the email.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering that.
Yes, and they're on my laptop because I was working on those while I was out of town. So I will actually send those out as soon as I get home tonight. But so the talk right now...
The one that was in the draft one of the presentation was the elevators.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I claimed that I was sending out about a month ago.
Okay.
Right. That I did not do.
Yeah, so I will send that out soon. And since the elevator activity seems to be the one we're citing, I can actually work on the handouts for that. But I'll send that out maybe tonight, and if you all have any comments about changes we might make to that. That would be good. Or we could use one of the earlier activities, either the pig rolling activity or the phase two activity, the bean scoop activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two thoughts on that. Like, on the one hand, it could be nice to share an activity that that Sean's already tried out, and then mm-hmm. we could, you know, have a little bit of discussion around that. And then on the other hand, it could be nice to share an activity that we're planning to try out, and maybe I'm assuming there's going to be time for feedback that we would maybe get suggestions to make changes or improvements on that activity before we actually test them out in the fall.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I'm sort of drawn to the latter, only because it seemed like we were struggling a little bit, it seemed like it was more complicated or more difficult for us in the phase 3 and 4, the transition to those phases.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I think that's certainly fair.
Okay, so we'll do the elevator activity, and I will send out the draft that was supposed to have been sent out before tonight, and I will write some, I'll make a handout based on that draft. And hopefully if anyone has suggestions, just let me know before Friday, and I'll probably make, actually before Thursday would be good, so I can get them to the coffee center here.
Okay, cool. And Aaron, if you need any help doing something along that, you know, if you are super busy with your tenure file, let me know and I can speak over something.
Okay. It should be, I mean, since we already have, or I already have a draft of the, like, the homework sheets and the in-class activity, it should just be a matter of copying and pasting stuff, but I will let you know. Thank you.
Okay.
That's, I had a quick question. The concept map, when should we have, should have a deadline for that? When should we plan to have that done? Like, Jen, when would you need it done so that you can make handouts?
That's a good question. I would say, wow, this week will go by fast. I would say by Thursday, because then I can make, copies on Friday.
Okay, so I would have Thursday to do it, though. All right.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, on the East Coast, you could send me something, you know, later in the day.
Well, so, no, I mean, because my first thought was, that's the day I'm giving final exams. That's the day, you know, that's the day that while sitting in class, I can actually do something else.
That would, I think,
at least for me, give me a chance to contribute better here.
Okay. And actually, that worked fine in that sense, Sean, because you and I think, both took the sections on student learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have a chance to make a first pass, and then you'll be able to add on to that. And
all right. Yeah.
So I think that seems fine. And does that Thursday work for you guys, for Aaron and Cece?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we want to focus on naming the studies or focus on concepts that the studies told us, I guess, or both?
I would think the concepts primarily.
Okay.
And we could, like, if there were one or two studies for each concept that were particularly notable, we might put those down.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, that Chance, Delmas, and Garfield article,
mm-hmm.
like, that was a big one.
Right.
Yeah, because some of those have been good for us. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, that's okay. Because I started just by listing the article names, but I wasn't sure where to go from there. So I can add some comments that go with those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like any study that's been really instrumental or really important for us, that we could identify those there. But it also seems like if we're just listing out studies, it's not going to be that useful either for us or the rest of the group. And so if we could have some, I don't know, I think that's going to be the hard part of the concept map, but something that's especially, I guess, if we're talking through this, something that's triggering for us important elements in our thinking around these areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so agenda item number 2, Sean.
Okay, so I ran both phase 1 and phase 2. Not unexpectedly, the students, when they were handed out the pigs, immediately started rolling the pigs before I told them what to do. We'll put that in the big surprise category. Phase 1, for the most part, went fine. A couple of things that I noticed was, and I think I wrote this down and sent this to you folks, one was when I had them roll the 2 pigs, some of the students got into the issue of, well, I can't distinguish between the pigs. So Did I want them to view this as you have two distinct pigs, pig one and pig two? You know, some students actually drew a little mark on the pig so that they could distinguish this is pig one and this is pig two. Others didn't. So the number of outcomes that could happen was different for those two different groups of students. Which I thought was, you know, interesting. And all right, what is it that we should actually, you know, what is it that we want from the students? Do we want them to view it as two pigs that you can't distinguish between, or do we want to view it as two distinct pigs that you can distinguish so there are more outcomes? And then the last question was, if I roll the pig 100 times, I expect to get two blank, you know, fill in the outcome, between blank and blank rolls, explain your reasoning, where we were hoping they would come up with a confidence interval kind of idea. Some of them came up with some estimates that were reasonable, and some of them punted and just left it blank. And like, yeah, I have no idea what you're asking for here, and didn't even pretend that they knew what they were doing, which at least that was nice, that they didn't try to, pretend on something and then, you know, write some junk that afterwards now I'm all upset. It's like, oh, I can't believe I have to read this garbage. They didn't even try. If they didn't know, they sort of frankly admitted that they didn't know and left it blank. In terms of if you're concerned about time-wise, there was no problem getting this done in 50 minutes. For the in-class portion, there was no problem getting that done in 50 minutes.
So do you think we need to add more detail in the instructions for some of the homework?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit. And that can be one of those that maybe I should do that first pass at that since I've already read a bunch of answers that students have given, and thinking about what kind of things they did say already. So I will do that first.
Would it be useful for us to be able to see some of the responses? Like scans or something of some of the student responses. Did you keep those?
So I was unable to, partially because I didn't have to go get any approval from the school because I said, oh, it's a pilot experiment. But then I also wasn't allowed to keep things either because it was one of those like, okay, you can go ahead and try this out and you don't need to ask our permission, but you're not using these results anymore. I'm like, no, okay. That was sort of the deal that I had. Okay. I can try and see if I can get a couple of students that might have held on to their papers so far, since I still see them the rest of, you know, until Thursday. See if I can get a couple of them to say, can I borrow your first experiments and copy down, you know, just make a copy because they want to see some examples, and, you know, maybe I can get some of the students to go for that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was wondering about that with the human subjects, and I'm thinking, not so we can write up the results or that we would even have any identifiable information that could be cut off,
right,
but just so we could see responses together as a group and kind of discuss them, I thought it might be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can ask, and I'll ask some of the students that I know answered the questions wrong. The student who gets everything perfect, you're not going to learn nearly as much from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones who, you know, had more trouble with it.
Do other folks feel like that would be useful for us?
Yeah, I think it would be good. Mm-hmm. At the worst or best, it would sort of confirm what we've individually predicted would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good just to see, either confirm that or it'll help us think if we want to change other things too.
Yeah.
Okay, then are we ready for the second one or?
Yep.
The second one didn't go as well.
No.
Um, So in terms of, you know, I mean, they went and they did the scoops of beans. That portion went fine. I had a problem because we were going to try to include a set of data, you know, for the homework one, we were going to include a table of values, and they were going to try to make some predictions based on that. I didn't have the table of values, so that part fell apart a little bit. And I wouldn't want to draw any conclusions yet from that because, well, we weren't able to execute it terribly well. As it turns out, all the actual numbers that the students got from their, so I did a 75% was the actual sample proportion, the population proportion that I used, going on the advice, don't use one half on purpose. And then all of their samples wound up being ridiculously close to 75%. And so it was one of the, their samples were legit. I mean, you know, they all came up, they did the scoop, you know, I mean, they weren't trying to cheat or anything like that. And now at the end, you know, we're trying to show that there's some spread and all, except the spread went from like 72 to 76. I'm like, I'd like to make an argument about how there's spread here within this thing, you know, but... Their data that they collected wasn't giving me a lot of it to show.
Do you know about how many beans were in each of the scoops that they took?
Their samples tended to be right about 60.
Okay.
By doing the two capfuls, tended to be right about 60.
Yeah, maybe we should do one capful.
Yeah.
Well, that was not... So, yeah, when we got to the, okay, if you want to lower the number of winners... portion, you know, when the students were answering that at home, a lot of the students, a number of students came up with the have them take a smaller sample. You know, don't decrease the five, you know, some of them said decrease the 5 percentage points to 3 percentage points or 2 percentage points. Okay, that's fine. You know, that was the kind of answer I was expecting. Some of them did go for the, well, maybe if they lowered the sample size, it would be harder for them to make a good prediction. And I was not expecting them to answer that way. But a number of the good students came up with that as their solution to the problem, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, what sort of representations did people come up with?
For the most part, they did dot plots.
Mm-hmm.
A couple did bar graphs. I went around before I had them draw the pictures on the board. I went around it to make sure I knew what all the graphs were, and every unique kind of graph, I went and said, "Oh, put that up on the board." And in the end, there really only ended up being three or four, so they were almost all dot plots. A couple were, they were sort of like connected dot plots. They drew the dots. And then they connected them together, like somehow that would matter. But, you know, it still gave the same impression.
That's interesting, though. Why did you ask them why they chose to connect the dots?
I did, and I didn't get a good... And the answer was, well, it looked like it could go well connecting. Like, oh, you know, it's sort of one of those, all right, they're giving me a fake answer, which was fine because, you know, they were just thinking up things off the top of their head.
That's really interesting, though. Cause,
yeah, I think so, too. Go
yeah,
ahead,
like,
Aaron.
And I'm just thinking, you know, lots of times if you have students plot, plots of data, like when we're just talking about functions, regular functions, a lot of the times they just want to connect all the dots all over the place. And I wonder if this is some holdover for their, like, some idea of continuity that they're trying to impose here.
I agree. I'm wondering that same thing, and I know that when I worked with Mike Shaughnessy on his grant with middle and high school students, a lot of times students would try to do that with graphs that they were drawing, and it almost seems like they were imposing time. So I actually think that that's a pretty interesting... If we could get more detail through, like, discussion or interviews as to why, what students were thinking in terms of connecting them, or they're just used to seeing, you know, connected graphs throughout school or something, but what meaning the connections, connecting the dots has for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that could, like, if they're really trying to impose some sort of continuity, that could be problematic further down the road. Because, I mean, this situation is fundamentally discrete.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if they're, you know, if they're trying to bring all of these other mathematical ideas to bear on it, and it's not quite appropriate, then if they try to form sampling distributions with continuity in there somewhere, then that, I can't imagine it would lead to anything good.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And you said there were there other types of graphs? They have some bar graphs there?
So yeah, a couple of them did bar graphs, grouping them together. Where, you know, the bar graphs were, you know, I mean, the samples that were between 70 and 75, you know, between, let's say, 72 and 74% in the bar, and then there was a graph for the group between 75 and 77%. So, you know, there were a couple of them. And then what was the other one? Somebody did a pie chart. Which was interesting. Oh no! Am I confusing my experiments now?
A pie chart would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm confusing my experiments. They had to draw the graph. That's it. They had to draw the graphs for something else, didn't they? Why did I have them draw a graph? Why did a pie chart make sense?
Can I ask you a question, Sean, about the bar graph?
Yeah.
Were they making them more like, did they have a continuous number line? Was there a gap between 74 and 75 if that was their group? Was it more like a histogram or a...
Yeah, it was like a histogram. I'm trying to think. Was it that I had them draw graphs instead with the pigs? Is that am I putting these two together and confusing the issue? Where did I have?
Would it be possible, do you think, for you to get some of the graphs that they made?
Yeah, I think I should be able to.
Okay, that would be great.
Yeah.
So I'll ask and see who still has maps.
So we also had a task. I think didn't we also have questions that were similar to the one from the first experiment where students had to make a range estimate?
Wrong one here. They were supposed to create a dot plot from, a set of data where we were going to give them a whole bunch of data points and they were going to, draw the plot. Unfortunately, I didn't have, I believe you, Jen, had a set of data that would have been great for it, but then I didn't get it in time to throw into the experiment itself, and I wasn't sure how to fabricate in a good way.
I think I got that email when I was.
This is when, you know, you sending this email beforehand saying, "Oh, I just got back into the country 10 minutes ago," or it's like, it's like, well, then I'm guessing you didn't get my SOS email on time in any reason. So, yeah, I mean, this becomes one of those that, all right, we'll have to try it again and include it the second time and see how it goes.
Yeah. Because then any questions that was with that table.
Right. Didn't make nearly as much sense to them.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That happens.
Jen, are you the one that has that table?
Yeah, but I didn't have it with me, so Yeah, so I'm sorry, because I left. I thought I sent that, because didn't I send minutes out to everyone? Or did I not do that either after our phone call last time?
No, I think minutes. I know I saw minutes somewhere.
Or maybe I'm not even sure anymore. It's like a little bit of a blur. I thought I sent something to everyone right after our phone call, but I may not have, so.
There's so much stuff in my email, I'm lost anymore. So.
Yeah, so I'll have to get that together, so I apologize.
Don't worry about it. I mean, we're trying something real quick during the summer, and, you know, things don't always go perfect, so, you know, it happens. I'm not the slightest bit worried about it.
Yeah. One thing I had thought a few minutes earlier, if we were trying to increase variability in the sample, maybe we could do a population proportion of 60%. Like something sort of 50, but not 50.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea,
actually. More variable if you're closer to 50.
There we go. Knowledge of our binomial distribution. All right.
And I also wonder how students might react to that, like if they're more likely to I wonder if we'll see a lot of guesses around 50%.
Yeah. That was another thing I thought maybe we'd want to do like 62%. Or something that's not like a multiple of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe students are just automatically thinking, oh, it must be an even number.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Admittedly, it was one of those that I went for, because I was trying not to do, I was trying not to do 50-50. It was one of those, I had 4 bags of beans, 3 of one, 1 of, you know, 3 of one color, 1 of the other color. So it's like, okay, 3-1 is what I'm going with.
Yeah.
I did not physically count every single bean. It's like, I presume that they were all the same, you know, that they were all the same in that sense.
Yeah, that'll just take, I think we have to work out how we're going to, the 75-25 is a little bit easier to mix.
Right.
So we might have to figure out how we want to go about the 62.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I still have my, you know, I mean, I didn't get rid of them. I mean, you know, I could turn it into 60% without a problem, right? You know, make it 3-2.
We could also buy 8 bags and just do 5/8 and 3/8. That would give us 2.5%.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that's good.
The container they're sitting in, that'll actually hold it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, yeah. And then, I don't have a table for that, but we can figure that out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Sean, do you have any other thoughts? Like, how did the, so there was an intro discussion to the sampling beans. Did that go okay?
That part went fine.
Okay.
I know when I had, you know, on the take-home portion, when they wrote the reflection piece on what they learned, some of them wrote about some of the things they learned, and you know, a couple of them were pretty honest about the, I'm not exactly sure what you're going for here, Professor. You know, about that piece. Some of them did not see the purpose of what we were working on. So maybe now is it that I didn't do a good enough job explaining? Very possible. Was there something, they wanted, a few of them didn't see where we were going. And I'm sure part of it was, well, they weren't supposed to completely know where we were going yet. You know, I mean, they hadn't seen the central limit theorem yet. So they didn't know that that's where we were going to end up.
Yeah, and some of this might work better once all of the activities are in place, and then we can help our students make connections between activities
mm-hmm.
and two other concepts.
Yeah, I think that's a good thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, any other thoughts about phase one, phase two?
At the moment, for me, I'm certainly willing to, run them and try them again, and see if we can, now that we've done one time through, see if we can get, better response. I don't want to say better responses. Get something that we can work with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when does everyone's fall semester start?
Day after Labor Day.
Mine's the 27th of August.
And I'm probably the last person to start. I'm at the end of September.
Oh, that's right. You've got those weird quarters.
Yeah. I start in about a month. So I guess we should probably start thinking about if we... Well, Sean, you're going to suggest some changes that, based on what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we should probably start thinking about how we want to assess this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, we won't need them right on day one.
Right.
Maybe we will. Actually. We could do the pigs activity on day one of a class.
Yeah.
But so we'll need to think, do people have thoughts about... How we want to assess what students are understanding. I don't know if anyone had a chance to read through any of those potential assessment items that I sent out.
Oh, I didn't read through them.
No.
Because we'll want to think about that. We want to think about format, too. And initially in our proposal, or at some point, we had talked about using written assessments and doing interviews and maybe videotaping classes. I'm not sure if we're going to have enough time today to decide on all of that, but maybe is that something that we should discuss in Vancouver?
I think that could be good for us to kind of discuss that and brainstorm and make a sort of potential list, because especially for all of you, I mean, some of you are starting in a month, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to come up fast. And if we don't have another conference call for a month, so it seems like it'd be good if we could, have some sort of power meeting for, 3 or so hours and, grab lunch and then get some of that together and send that out to Aaron, and then we can do a bit of stuff over email prior to our next call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll need to think about two practical issues that will come up. And one is getting human subjects consent and getting that through our review boards. And Stacey, I don't know if you know how Clark works for human subject stuff?
Not yet. Although in the fall, I'm only teaching two sections of the probability course for math majors.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to do the pigs activity, but I'm not sure the other ones would be appropriate for those. Because we won't do technically sampling distributions until the next semester, where it's the math stat class.
Okay, so you have a little bit of time.
Yeah. And then in the spring, though, I am teaching an intro stat for the environmental studies majors, so
okay.
I can use them all there.
Yeah. So we'll need to draft some human subjects forms, et cetera. I need to write a proposal for my board.
Yeah, I have to do the same thing, and I already have sort of a template from some other work that I've done. And I can start to put something together, and I mean it'll probably be different at everyone's school, but I can send out what I'm gonna do, and maybe it'll be useful. You can cut and paste.
Yeah.
Stuff.
That would be
so
good. And another
I think
thing,
I'll have to do that in the summer. I mean, I think that within the next month I should submit if I'm gonna be able to I don't know how long it takes at your schools, but it can take like 8 weeks at Portland State.
Yeah.
It might be extra tricky because we'll be collecting data at multiple points, so it can't really be anonymous. And we'll be collecting information on our own students. And I know the last time I did this, collecting multiple data points on my own students, I had to jump through a bunch of hoops.
So yes, I'm not sure how much my school is going to be a problem, you know, either a help or a hindrance, only because we do very few studies around here, you know, of anything of this type, because we're a community college. Nobody's doing, very few people do research of any sort. This might be one of those, okay, you know, go to the academic vice president. Can you have a meeting of the institutional research board? Sure. And then he'll turn to me probably and say, now who's on it again? And I'll go, I don't know. Mine could be very interesting just from that. It could be either a great, you know, this could either sail through or this could be a huge nightmare.
One thing to keep in mind is that because what you're talking about, for the most part, I'm not sure 100%, but for the most part, you're talking about collecting data on students' interactions with activities or assignments or assessments that are part of the course, and it's what you want students to do in the course, that they would be considered exempt protocols. If that helps, that's something that you can really emphasize in your description or your forms for the IRB. The other thing that I just wanted to mention, I guess Aaron alluded to this, when you have the situation where you're collecting multiple data points from students, you do need identifying information on the data. And different places can be more or less finicky about that. And when I've had to deal with different places, the one thing that I find really helps is to emphasize that once all the data are collected and you have done some linking across same student records, that you will de-identify the data at that point. But there may be, at least during the semester, some data will need to have its name on it, but it'll be kept in a locked room or, you know, whatever the case may be. Is that the kind of hoops that you were asked to jump through, Aaron?
Yeah, and the other thing that I've done this once before with my own students is that I needed to have a colleague had to come in to give the students the consent forms, and then the colleague had to keep them until the end of the semester.
Right. Oh, they have a name for that, like an honest broker or something. I forget what they call it.
So the idea is if I give my students these forms and tell them to fill them out so that I can use their data, then that's coercion. It could be coercive.
That's interesting. I collected some data interview, not classroom, but just interview and survey data from a class I taught last year. And I gave out the consent form. So we didn't have that issue.
Well, and I think it depends on the IRB. I mean, in our IRB, we put in the consent form that your choice to allow your data to be part of this study is completely up to you, blah, 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 have no impact on your grade, blah, blah, blah. We also, in some of the studies that I run here at Carnegie Mellon, kind of push for the protocol to be cast as an exempt one, in which case an official explicit consent form is not required. So I don't know the degree to which your different institutions would fit your protocol under exempt. Because there is a standard educational practice or something like that. I forget what the terminology is for a study that is asking students to do what they ordinarily do in their classroom setting.
Yeah, and would that still work if we were to interview students outside of class, or if we were to videotape them in class, which were two of the things we'd...
No, I'm thinking about the paper data. But here's the thing that I've done, it kind of is, I guess, analogous to my view of mixed methods, is that you want to use the different methods to complement each other. So you might want to submit two IRB protocols. One is the one that emphasizes your use of quantitative data, students' scores on their different exams, or it could even be qualitative data that is actual records of things that they do as part of the regular participation in your course. And all of that you could fold under one IRB. And it could be exempt, and it could be, it's completely, clean and easy. And then you could submit a separate protocol where you say, a subset of the students, I'm going to invite them to voluntarily, be videotaped, blah, 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 if you were going to do it as a kind of interview mode. And then those students who you can, get to sign up for these slots or something like that, you could videotape them, and that would be a separate thing. So it'd be kind of like case studies for the few that you interview and videotape, and then a larger N study of the activities and homeworks and exam scores and whatnot. But if you were thinking of recording classroom interaction where everyone's involved, that's a whole different can of beans.
Mm-hmm. And in our closing minutes, one other thing we might want to think about is potential sources of funding if we wanted to do interviews or videotapes. Because with the videotapes, there's going to be some basic costs, whether or not you have a video camera available, getting cassette tapes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we wanted to potentially compensate students who come in for interviews.
Yeah,
I think we may want to try. I think that's a good suggestion. The other thing I've done in the past is offer extra credit to come in
mm-hmm.
for interviews, but then you also, at least at my institution, have to offer an alternative for those who don't want an alternative assignment that would be extra credit for those who don't want to participate in the study.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because otherwise,
I mean, we've only had to worry about that. We have to make sure that if we offer extra credit, that all students have the ability to participate.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one of my colleagues wanted to say, if you went and voted for the president, back in 2008, if you go and you vote, you get extra credit. And one of the students says, but I'm 17, I'm not allowed to vote. And a couple others are like, I'm not a citizen of this country. So she had to come up with something different. But if everybody was able to, but chose not to participate, that it was okay.
Yeah, and I see that, but the thing is that if a student feels like they shouldn't have to feel forced to get their extra credit via our study.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason for having an alternative. So everyone can participate in getting extra credit, and there's two different ways to do that, one through the study and one.
So, I think these are going to be big issues, and it might be just in our best interest to, A, get something drafted for the Human Subjects Review Board so we can get those out to them and get some feedback if we need to make any changes.
Mm-hmm.
And discuss whether or not, I would love to do interviews and or videotape part of classes. And I don't know if, so my school has some small internal grants available for funding things like this, and I don't know if other people have similar opportunities or if there are any external sources of funding for something like that, which would probably take a lot longer to procure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about external sources that we'd be able to secure within the year. Our school has one internal grant, but that money wouldn't be available until next summer.
Ooh.
So that's also a little
late
for my institution, but...
Well, maybe we can just start brainstorming this.
Yeah.
Okay. we have a lot to think about, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, no kidding.
So, I guess Stacey and Aaron, I don't know if you want to stay online for a few extra minutes and think about when we could meet.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
If we want to just do that over email, or I don't know what day you guys are leaving.
I'm going to be coming in next Sunday very late at night, but I have no plans for Monday.
Okay.
So I can meet from, I'm sure I will be up super early because I'll be on Eastern time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can meet from whenever I wake up until whenever we're having dinner, which is probably about my bedtime.
Right. And Stacey, how about you?
I think pretty much free. I know there were some sessions that I wanted to go to, but other than that, like even then, whenever. I just have the same commitments as you guys do for the dinner and everything.
Okay. Okay, cool. So are you guys all staying at the hotel that the conference is at, or?
No. I'm at a Best Western.
Okay.
I'm at a place that's actually a hostel, but they call themselves a hotel.
Oh, is that Hostel International or something?
No, it's something. It's called St. Clair. It's downtown, and it's pretty cheap.
Okay.
We'll see what the quality's like.
So maybe we should send each other an email with where we're staying and phone numbers,
yeah.
And maybe we could plan, like, my main criteria is to get up there to be able to meet with you guys and go to the dinner, and then I'll kind of figure out sessions around that, and so maybe we can, like, tentatively plan to meet at, like, 9:30 or 10 a.m. on that Monday, and then we can see, like, Stacey, if there are certain sessions that you really are planning on going to, and then we can try and work out a schedule around that.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay, cool.
What should we arrange our next conference call?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a good idea.
We might,
2, 3, 4.
I don't seem to have my teaching schedule on my calendar yet.
Okay. The end of August?
End of August. I think I know when I'm busy, though. I'm pretty sure I know. So you're thinking like August 23rd to 27th-ish?
Yeah.
I am not in class that week yet, so all days are currently available.
Okay. Does anyone have any thoughts about the week before, just in case there's, a lot that we have to talk about or try to get ready before everyone starts teaching, or is the 23rd the week of
I might be in transit from Portland to Boston the week before.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how much call I'll have available.
Okay. So, yeah, that week I'm really open.
But, we should be there by the end of that week. So if we wanted to try for, like, the Friday, the 20th.
That should work.
Let me just check something. I may be in transit on that day. But I don't know when. I'm going to a friend's wedding that weekend, and I think I'm leaving sometime on Friday. But I don't remember when my plane, like,
we could even probably do Thursday, too.
Okay. Yeah, Thursday anytime would work for me.
I'm free on Thursday.
Yep, Thursday's fine.
Okay. a preferred time?
What would be best for you, Stacy?
It doesn't matter. We'll probably just be unpacking, so whenever I can get away from unpacking. And I'll be on Eastern time now, so that'll be weird. But
don't worry, you've moved to the correct side of the country. It's all right.
I think I'm going to be the only one on West Coast time anymore then. Should we try and say noon again? Or, sorry, 3 p.m. your time again?
Sure.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay, so 3 p.m. on the 19th.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Very
good.
Okay.
Thanks,
Marcia.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
And you guys have a good
JSM.
Yes. Wish I was there.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.